Welcome back. Silver and Black today. Hour number two on this Thursday. Raider Nation Radio as the Raiders get prepped to go back east yet again. Face the New York Jets. Go back to the House of Horrors from last year, where the Jets took care of the Raiders in embarrassing fashion, pretty much kind of ending their season right there, right, Q? I mean,
yeah,
there was no question about that one.
No, that was the beginning of the end for the Raiders right there. I mean, they had an opportunity to go on a run, and then they took that big fat L to the Jets, and it was over after that.
Yes, and by the way, it's funny because we're going to get to Dan Leberfield here in just a second from Jets Confidential. This is one of those weeks that gets a little uncomfortable in the studio, Q, because, you know, Chris Chapman, our engineer and producer, is a Jets fan.
Oh, he's not cheering for anything, though. He's probably, and if you ask him, and I'm sure he can hear me, but he probably does not want the Jets to win this game. He probably wants them to assure themselves that they're going to get that number one overall pick, because if you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're right behind the Jets. They're not winning too many games either, so they might actually steal that number one spot if the Jets decide to go ahead and win a couple games.
Well, here's the problem. I've been a Jet fan for 35 years. It doesn't matter what quarterback they draft in the first round. They'll end up being a disaster. Browning Nagel. Actually, he was a second-round pick, but
yeah,
they'll end up screwing it up.
Trevor Lawrence is a good start. Joe Douglas is a good GM.
He is.
That's my hope. That's my hope. My hope is they get rid of Gaze and they allow Joe Douglas to bring in the right coach. And my hope is Eric Bieniemy, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
No, it's not happening. The reason I say that is because he's going to be a package deal. Homeboy that was the GM in Kansas City and Cleveland as well. That is familiar with Bieniemy. I believe those two are going to be a 1-2 punch. You know what I mean? Like the GM will get hired and then the coach will come with them. And so Joe Douglas is in place in New York. So I don't see that happening.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go now and talk to our good friend, Dan Leberfield from Jets Confidential. He'll get us all up to speed and Chris will be listening intently since he is a Jets fan. And Dan joins us now. Dan, how you doing today?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Chilling.
Doing great. So I think I know the answer to this a little bit, but what's the mood like there? Adam Gase, you know, I look at this as almost like dead man walking. He admitted today, I read an AP piece, that he hasn't done enough to develop Sam Darnold. I mean, is it covering the team like you do so well and have done for so long, Dan? What is this like being around kind of something everyone knows how the ending is going to go?
Yeah, it's very strange when you look at the situation as far as other teams that have pulled the trigger on getting rid of the coach and going with interim coach in Houston with Romeo Crennel, Atlanta with Raheem Morris, and now Detroit with Darren Bevell. So other teams have done it. For some reason, the Jets have not done it. I would think the reason is under the ownership of Woody and Christopher Johnson. Over the last 20 years, they've never fired a coach in season and gone with an interim coach. So I guess they're set in their ways and they won't do that. But it is kind of strange because it seems like since the Denver game early in the year, you got the sense right before that game, Chris Mortensen of ESPN reported that was a game that management was really looking at to see how Gase and the Jets responded, and they lost to the lowly Broncos in that game. So it's been a really, really long stretch of time where you got the feeling the coach is in trouble, but he continues to stay on running the program.
Is there a coach or a guy that maybe you know, Jets fans or you guys in the media have in mind that you think would be a good head coach potentially there in New York?
I know it's cliche to talk about culture, and I think John Gruden's done a good job building the Raiders culture last week notwithstanding. When you look at the Jets, I think they need an established head coach, perhaps from the college ranks, who has a history of building strong football cultures, because right now their culture is not very good. And when you look at Matt Rhule, is a guy that they talked to 2 years ago when they ended up hiring Adam Gase. And what killed that deal was the fact that Mike Maccagnan and some of the people involved in that coaching search were forcing assistant coaches on Matt Rhule. If he wanted the job, he'd have to accept certain assistant coaches. And Matt Rhule said, I don't believe in arranged marriages, so he backed out. And now he's doing a pretty good job as the Carolina Panthers coach, though his clock management wasn't very good at the end of that Minnesota game, but that's another story. So I think the Jets will be looking, or should be looking, for a strong culture coach. All the guys they've hired up to this point have been hot assistant coaches under the Johnsons who they hired, and it just didn't work out, guys that hadn't proven they could be effective NFL head coaches. So I'd be looking at some of the hot college coaches. You know, I'd even be looking at the Cincinnati coach, just somebody that you know can build a strong culture, because right now the Jets football culture is broken. So I wouldn't rule out the college ranks.
Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential. You can follow him on Twitter at Jets Whispers. And Dan, you look at the situation, the story I mentioned about Sam Darnold, and with the Jets where they are, with Trevor Lawrence sitting there dangling as the first pick in the draft, it looks like he will be, unless something drastic happens, he will be the next quarterback drafted by the Jets. How much of Sam Darnold's lack of development is the Adam Gase show, or is there something else there? Was Sam Darnold never really a good fit in New York? Is his talent level not what they thought it was, or is it a mixture of all of them?
Yeah, a mixture of all of them is the way to go there. Adam Gase, you know, there's a lot of things you can blame him for, and surprisingly, and I'm sure your producer will be shocked at this, I don't blame him too much for Sam Darnold. I think there are inherent problems there that I don't know which coach could fix. He's not particularly good at going through his reads. And talking to Gil Brandt, who I work with at Sirius XM NFL Radio, and I asked him about Darnold, and he said, you could see the issues reading defenses. You guys will remember this being in Vegas. You guys are always so on top of all these big matchups. The Cotton Bowl, when Ohio State played USC, and Sam Darnold had a really bad game, and some people were like, wait a minute, maybe this is not a top three pick, because he was so bad, and that was the best defense he ever faced, going from the Pac-12, which isn't known for defenses, to facing Ohio State, which is always loaded with high draft picks. And they lost 24-7. Sam Darnold threw a couple interceptions and had a really bad game. And Gil Brandt said that was perhaps a warning for the NFL level, because there were struggles reading defenses in college, and then they translated to the NFL. So the only thing I'll say about Adam Gase related to making Sam Darnold better is if he was Sean McVay. We all know Jared Goff is not the greatest quarterback, but Sean McVay is so masterful at calling plays to mask his weaknesses that sometimes Jared Goff looks just fine. I don't think Adam Gase has done a great job as far as perhaps calling games where he can hide Sam's weaknesses, dial up a ton of great first reads, and make him look like a top-shelf quarterback. So if you're going to criticize Gase for anything, it would be perhaps not simplifying the game with his play calling.
How much has it been on the front office for not really putting the proper weapons around him? I mean, I know you have Denzel Mims, who's a second-round draft pick out of Baylor, and he's been playing pretty well. He didn't play the whole season, but he's been playing pretty well as of late. But outside of that, you know, I mean, you got Frank Gore, who I respect the hell out of, but he's the old Frank Gore. So there's not really too many weapons around him. I mean, how much is that kind of blame going on the front office?
Well, it's interesting with the weapons. Earlier in the year, Joe Douglas, who you guys brought up before, who I think is the most talented football person in the building and a guy that can help the Jets forge a great future. Management ownership needs to let him pick the head coach, because oftentimes when owners pick head coaches, they're not the best at it, and that goes around the league as far as not looking for the right thing. So let Joe Douglas pick the coach. And Joe Douglas, people were critical around the year for letting Robbie Anderson walk in free agency style in Carolina, and they said, you don't have any weapons for Sam Darnold. Actually, his plan wasn't as bad as it looked like early in the year, because now that Denzel Mims is back, he had hamstring issues earlier in the year, and now that Perryman is back and he's played really well recently, he had some injuries. The plan to replace Robbie Anderson is actually reaching fruition now later in the year. Perryman and Mims both playing very well. Jamison Crowder is a very good slot receiver, played well last year, is playing well this year. So there were issues with Darnold's weapons early in the year when Mims and Perryman were out. But in defense of Joe Douglas, his plan with Perryman and with Mims is actually working out very well now. It's not showing in the one loss record, but if you guys saw that Charger game and you saw the recent New England game, those receivers look very good for the Jets. And Joe Flacco actually played in some of those games. But one thing on Douglas, his first draft is starting to look real good, especially at the top. with Mekhi Becton, the potential franchise left tackle, and Denzel Mims in the first two rounds.
Well, one of the guys that we like to talk about, because it was a player that I really loved coming in the draft, was Quinnen Williams. I thought he might have been a candidate for the Raiders as well. Talk about the year he's had. I've had fun watching film of him in preparation for this game. He's playing hard. And then talk a little bit about how that defense, what they're going to do and what they need to fill holes for next year.
Yeah, Quinnen Williams has really, really stepped up recently. He's got that amazing foot quickness for a 300-pounder, and he's showing that recently, shooting into gaps and beating overmatched guards who he's athletically superior to. You've seen a lot of it recently. He had an absolute monster game in the Jets' loss to Miami last week, so that pick is working out. So you could say the Jets have three strong cornerstones moving forward in Mekhi Becton at left tackle, Denzel Mims at receiver, and a quality interior pass rusher in Quinnen Williams. And they have a ton of draft picks moving forward. So with Joe Douglas looking like a good evaluator of talent, especially based on his first draft, they should be able to add some more top-shelf talent in the upcoming drafts. And defense, as you brought up, Scott, they have some holes to fill there. They need an edge rusher. Quinnen Williams is an interior rusher and a very good one. But they're not great off the edge. And when you see the game on Sunday, Derek Carr should have plenty of time to throw if they can take care of Quinnen Williams on the interior. They could use a number one corner. Now, the fifth-round pick out of Virginia, who finally was activated a couple weeks ago, they drafted him coming off a broken ankle at UVA. If Bryce Hall did not break his ankle at UVA, he probably would have been a second-round pick. But he was picked in the fifth round because he still wasn't 100%. So that looks like a nice pick, but Bryce Hall's more of a number two corner. So I would say number one corner, shutdown corner, and edge rusher. But you guys know that's about every team's shopping list in the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it really is. And I know when you're a team that hasn't won a game, there's a lot of areas that need improvement, like you just kind of rolled out there. But in your opinion, what do you feel like is the weakest area of this Jets team this year?
That's a tough question because you're – producer might fall off his chair, but Sam Darnold's really, really struggling. He really is, and I feel bad for him. He's a good guy. He works hard, but the position is so hard. You know, it's interesting. Yeah. After covering the Jets-Dolphins game where Sam Darnold threw two really rough interceptions, that night was the Bears game, and I'm watching Mitch Trubisky, and I'm seeing the same problems with Sam Darnold. The position is so hard. It's so hard. I mean, let's be honest. Derek Carr, it's funny. A couple weeks ago on SiriusXM NFL Radio, I said, you know, I have to tip my hat to Derek Carr because I've been pretty rough on him because I accused him of taking too much stuff underneath, thinking dunk quarterback. So I got to tip my hat to him after criticizing so much. And then he has that Atlanta game, which is unfortunate for him. So you just don't know with the position. But Sam Darnold's giving it his best shot. But like I said before, not great at going through his progressions. Too often locks on his first read. You know, not manipulating defensive backs with his eyes, so he's taking them to the football, as you saw in those two interceptions last week. So they need much better quarterback play, and I do think that if they do get the first pick in the draft, they will pick Trevor Lawrence. And if they hire the right, if they move on from Adam Gase and they make a coaching change, if they get the right staff in there, I think that Trevor Lawrence will work out well in New York because if it's the right coach and with Joe Douglas, who you talk to anyone around the league, you talk to people in the Raiders front office, everyone respects Joe Douglas as a talent evaluator in the NFL. He learned at the hip of Ozzie Newsome in Baltimore, worked there 15 years. Ozzie Newsome, one of the best talent evaluators of the modern era. So Joe Douglas knows what he's doing. So if they let Joe Douglas pick the next coach, if they make a coaching change, and they pick Trevor Lawrence, and they have the right coach and the right GM, I have to say this to you, producer, I do think Trevor Lawrence will work out with the Jets if that's the direction they go, and if it's the right coach and the right GM.
Yeah, and they have that second first-round draft pick, too, because of the Jamal Adams trade. So the Jets will get an infusion of talent. Dan Leberfield, Jets Confidential, at Jet Whispers, Jets Whispers on Twitter. Also catch him, SiriusXM NFL Radio. Dan, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Always great to be on with you guys. Can't wait to see you guys. I was hoping this game was in Las Vegas. It wouldn't have. Well, actually, I could have attended as a beat writer.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to see your new stadium. It looks tremendous.
Yeah, you'll love it. And we'll buy you dinner when you're here.
Sounds good. Always great.
That was Scott talking. That was Scott talking, brother. My pockets ain't built like that.
All right,
okay,
Dan.
We'll go to In-N-Out Burger.
Have a good time at the game, man. We appreciate you. Take care now.
Okay, have a good one.
All right, there you go. Dan Leverfeld. Good stuff.
He trying to sell me short like that, man, and trying to make me come out my pocket, man. It's tough these days to get some money, man.
Q, it's Vegas. I'll get you a comp, baby. Come on.
Oh, hey, do what you do. Hey, that's man, right. I'm not the mayor of the city. That's you, man. As long as you're the mayor, you do what you do.
No, I'm not the mayor. I'm the most wanted. Come on now. All right, that's gonna close out this segment. We're gonna take a break, and then when we get back, you'll get a meal of a different sort. You'll get fed by the Q-tip as he goes down with one of his soapbox moments, which you won't want to miss. You're here with Q and Scott on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.